Greetings this morning in Jesus' precious name. It is good to be in the house of God. It's good to see each one of you here. It's good to see that you are faithful to the Lord and are faithful in coming to church. And I bless you for that this morning. To the children this morning, where in the Bible is there a verse that only has two words? Yes, there is a verse that only has two words, and that is Jesus wept. There's also a verse in the Bible that only has three words. And I invite you to find that for me this morning. That is our message title this morning, the verse that has only three words in it. In 1 John 3, verse 1 through 3, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall see him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." I am thankful this morning to be a part of the family of God. I'm thankful to be under the love of God and that God loves me. Okay. Our message this morning is Remember Lot's Wife. And for you children that may have found that is found in Luke 17, verse 32. Luke 17, verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. That is the title of our message this morning. And we will read from Luke 17, beginning in verse 22 this morning. Luke 17, verse 22 to go in verse 37. There is no way that I will exhaust this subject this morning, but I trust that what is said will be an encouragement to us. Luke 17, verse 22. "And he said unto the disciples, The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, See here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that shineth out of the one part under heaven and shineth under the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, in he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back." Verse 32, "Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together." Let us notice several things about this passage. this verse is given in the context of the end times, of the end of the world. Notice in verse 22, Jesus was talking to his disciples, not to the multitude, not to people that did not like him, not to the Pharisees, but he was talking to his disciples. Judgment was on Jesus' mind when he said, "Remember Lot's wife." And Jesus gave this warning specifically to us about one person, Lot's wife. It wasn't "thou shalt not." It wasn't "take heed." It wasn't "beware." But Jesus used a different word, and that was "remember." Remember Lot's wife. Jesus is speaking as if we are in danger of forgetting the subject. Now, to me, that's the only person that I read of in Scripture that Jesus gave us that commandment of who we are to that we are to remember a person. And uniquely enough about this, Mrs. Lot, we do not know her name, nor where she came from. There are only 15 words in the Old Testament that we have about her, and 3 words in the New Testament. So we need to focus on what she did and what led her to do what she did. Now, in 1 Corinthians 11, we have when on the Lord's Supper, we are commanded to remember him. We are to remember our Lord. But yet, as far as a person, that is the only one that I know of in Scripture that we are commanded to remember. In 2 Peter 3, in verse 1, it says, "This second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." So I believe it's fitting this morning, as I stand before you in this, as a group of Christians, those that have pure minds. We are living in end times. But what all did Jesus mean in those 3 words when he said, "Remember Lot's wife"? Well, let's turn our Bibles to the account in the Old Testament, and that is found in Genesis 19. We'll read the first 18 verses of Genesis 19. Genesis 19, verse 1. "And there came 2 angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, and all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are these men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray thee, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have 2 daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for thereunto they came under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand, and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out, and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get ye out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of that city, of the city. And while he lingered, the men lay hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him, and brought him forth, and set them without the city. And it came to pass, when they brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, for it is a little one. O, let me escape thither, or is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow the city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. Verse 23, the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the plain, and toward all the land of the plain. And behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. This is the word of the Lord. What is there to remember about Lot's wife? I have 2 points this morning. And the first point I have is she was Lot's wife. That is who she was. She was Lot's wife. In 2 Peter 2, in verse 7, it says that Lot was a just man. And in verse 8, it says Lot was righteous. Now this morning, I don't want to spend a lot of time on Lot, because that's not our subject. But that Lot was just and Lot was righteous, did that make his wife just and righteous? No. And this morning to Yuns, you are not a Christian because your daddy was a Christian. You are a Christian this morning because you accepted the blood of Jesus. So what was the problem? What was the problem with Lot's wife? Didn't she believe in God? Why did she look back? And what was wrong with looking back? Was God being fair in striking her dead at that moment? And why did God strike her dead at that moment? I believe this morning that Lot's wife believed in God. We don't know when her and Lot got married, but they had daughters that were married. So I would assume that Lot and his wife, Lot's wife, was a grandmother. And because of the time span here, I believe Lot's wife knew Uncle Abraham. Uncle Abraham was still living. Abraham was righteous. And she could see Uncle Abraham's godly character. And her husband Lot and Uncle Abraham both had instances in their life of their faith in God. And the scripture says that Abraham and Lot dwelt in tents. Now, I'm not going to go into that, but the Bible says they dwelt in tents, and that's significant. And in the account that I read to you this morning from Genesis 19, before Lot and his wife went to bed that night, the angels told them both what they was going to do the next day. Sodom was going to be destroyed. Lot's wife, she's seen how that those angels pulled her husband into the door, into the room, and closed the door behind him. She's seen how that the angels struck those two men that were outside with blindness that they couldn't find the door. The reason I say that Mrs. Lot believed in God, because that next morning, when those angels said, "Flee," she fled for her life with her husband and two daughters. She fled. She left the city. She knew it was going to happen if God said it was going to happen. She believed in God. She knew that if her husband Lot and Uncle Abraham's God said he was going to do it, it would happen. So what went wrong? I believe this morning that Mrs. Lot believed in God, but she didn't love God. And there is a big difference between loving God or believing in God. We heard about that in our devotional this morning. We can read the Bible. We can read it through 100 times. But are you reading the Bible? Do you believe in the Bible? Or do you love the Bible? Do you have a form of godliness, but are you denying the power thereof? Our Sunday school lesson talked about this morning about the fruit of the Spirit. We talked about counterfeits. Are you living out the principles of God's Word in your business? Because you have discovered that in the end of the year that it is a good thing to live by the business principles of God's Word. It does help you financially. It does help you working with people. Is that the reason you're doing it, or are you doing it because you love God? I believe this morning that she believed in God, but she did not love God. Mrs. Lot's brain took her out of Sodom, but her heart made her look back. Do you love God this morning? All of us here this morning, we believe in God, but do we love God? There is a bigger price tag to pay if you love God versus believe. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Are you living a double life this morning? We know truth. We believe in truth. But do you love it? Are you all in for God this morning? There will be no divided hearts in heaven. There will be no half surrenders. The cross this morning that Jesus is asking you to bear, what are you doing with it? Are you cutting the end off just a little bit to make it easier for yourself? And if you're doing that, I'm sorry, but when you come to the Jordan River, that cross isn't going to be long enough for you to go across. In Luke 9 and verse 57 through 62, Luke 9, 57, it says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. The Syrian plow needed the weight of the plowman to keep it in the ground. And if the plowman looked off to the side, looked back, and didn't have his full weight on the plow would come out of the ground. If you're going to go to heaven this morning, we have to be all in for God. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. In Luke 14, verse 27, it says, And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Verse 33 says, So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Yes, Jesus said, The foxes have a hole that they can go into and they are safe. The bird can fly and go up into the tree and land in a nest, and it is safe. But if you're going to follow me, I must be first. Point number two. God means what he says. In the account that we read this morning in Genesis 19, in verse 13, it said, The angel said, For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And in verse 17 it says, And it came to pass, when they brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. God put forth an ultimatum. We will destroy. Do not look back. But we want tomorrow yet. We want tomorrow yet. We have the story of the Korean War. It happened back in 1950. The Korean War went down as one that was, that made no sense. It's the forgotten war. But on the South Korean side, there was a group called the George Company. And what that was 19, 20-year-old boys that left their farms, and 3 months later, they was out on the battlefield. They had no training, but there they was out there on the battleground with poor artillery that didn't work, or didn't work. It didn't always work. They were out on the tundra with the ice and the snow. The temperatures could get 60 below zero out there. But even if you got wounded, if you was a soldier that could carry a gun, you stayed on because you were fighting against 20, 30, 40 people against one. So everyone that was in this George Company worked as good as they could. And I'm just bringing this out for the conditions that they was working under. And they got to the place where they would get their dead bodies of their fellow soldiers, and they would stack them up in a row. And there they would hide behind those dead bodies. And there they would use that for a shooting range. Much bloodshed. Terrible conditions. Almost hopeless. And one morning in their battle, the Red Cross was able to slip in, and they gave those George Company breakfast. And as they made that makeshift food line, there was a particular soldier that went through that food line that morning. And one of the ladies on the Red Cross, she noticed this one soldier as he walked through. His shoulders were sagging. The creases in his face were deep that morning. The light in his eye was gone. But she paid attention to him. And as she went over, and as he got his food, and he went over there to one of those tankers, and there he leaned against that tar to eat his breakfast. She walked over to him, because the heart of love and compassion of her went out to him of how he's so downcast. And as she walked over to him, she folded her hands and she stood in front of him and she said, "If I were God and I could give you anything you desired, what would that be?" The soldier looked down at his blood-stained clothes. He looked down at his shoes that were blood-stained with blood and with dirt. It was 40 below zero. But as he sat there, in his left hand he had a can of cold pork and beans in a tin can. And in his right hand he had a plastic spoon. And there he sat, and he just stirred those pork and beans around a little bit. But he looked up into the eyes of that young lady from Red Cross, and he said, "Give me tomorrow." Today is the appointed time. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow's sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. This is the time, O then be wise, be saved, O tonight. In 2 Peter 1, in verse 10, it says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall." In Ecclesiastes 8, in verse 11, it says, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." God accepts nothing less than full compliance with his commandments. Nowhere in Scripture does God give the slightest tolerance for man to modify his known will. Lot's wife did not reach the safety of the mountains. She looked back. Lot's wife was almost saved, but yet she was lost. She made an effort to be saved, but yet not all the way. This morning, you may bring an offering to God like Cain and still be lost. You may weep like Esau and still be lost. You may leave Sodom like Lot's wife and still be lost. You may take part in worship like Korah and still be lost. You may tremble like Felix and still be lost. You may be zealous like Israel and still be lost. You may desire the death of the righteous like Balaam and still be lost. You may be near to the kingdom like the rich young ruler and still be lost. You may be almost a Christian like Agrippa and still be lost. You may make long prayers like the Pharisees and still be lost. God called looking back sin. Lot's wife disobeyed the commandment of God. God means what he says. Lot's wife only committed one sin. Adam and Eve only committed one sin. David committed a sin with Bathsheba. Moses committed one sin when he struck the rock instead of speaking to it. I think maybe he struck it twice. But he struck the rock instead of speaking to it. There is no excuse for sin, and God cannot overlook it. Are we too lenient to say that Lot's wife had reasons to look back? After all, she had daughters still back there in Sodom. She probably had grandchildren back there in Sodom. But God said, don't look back. Sodom was still in her heart. Mrs. Lot had not only moved to Sodom, but Sodom had moved in with her. This morning, where are you with God? Jesus said, "He that endureth unto the end shall be saved." Mrs. Lot did not make it to the end. Why? She lingered, then looked back. The angels that helped Lot and his two daughters also helped her to flee the city. And Lot and his two daughters made it safely to Zoar. But Mrs. Lot lagged behind just a little. Had she been where she should have been with the rest, she would have been safe as well. So this morning, do you have a superficial form of religion? Do you linger at the edges of sin? You know what is right, but you're not committed to be all in for God. And friends, this morning, you cannot have one foot with God and one foot with Satan. It won't work. Are you willing to pay the price to be all in for God? To be all in for God takes a commitment. In Luke 10, verse 27, we have the first commandment. It says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." To every soul, there comes a golden last moment of decision before the door shuts. We'll all be able to recognize that moment. No. Luke 18:8. "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Yes. Yes, God shall find faith on the earth. But you need to ask yourself personally, will he find faith in you? In Joshua 24, verse 15, it says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." May God bless the preaching of his word this morning. Shall we kneel for prayer?